Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, and this is number 13 of our series on the life and letters of the Apostle Paul. Last time we were discussing, from using passages in 2 Timothy, that we can never go back to the first century to find pure truth, but we can only go back to the letters of Paul himself to gather pure Christian truth. I say Christian tongue-in-cheek because that word doesn't mean a whole lot nowadays. It can mean just about anything. And we can't go back to the church fathers or anything like that. We must go back to the scriptures themselves. And we learn that when people forsook Paul and his message, because when you forsook the Lord's messenger, you forsook his message. When you got rid of the vessel, you lost the treasure that the vessel contained. Paul was a great vessel, and he had a treasure, and the treasure was the teaching that the risen Lord Jesus committed to him. And we learn there, first of all, when people forsook Paul, the great truth concerning the one body of Christ was lost, and people went about establishing their own bodies and denomination and sects, S-E-C-T-S. And in Galatians 5, it's a word used for a work of the flesh, and we glorify these today, unfortunately. Then, number two, the second thing that was lost was the truth concerning the Lord's promised return from heaven. And, friends, this is an important thing. When Paul spoke about resurrection, or what's called the rapture, by the way, the concordant literal New Testament uses the phrase snatched away. There's no word rapture, we know that. But doesn't mean that the thought is not a true statement. It's a snatching away, and Paul calls it a secret. And it was unknown in the prophets. Resurrection was known in the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus talked about a resurrection in the last day in John chapter 6. All the Jews had a hope of a resurrection of the dead, according to Paul and Acts and so forth. And but this was a resurrection that was secret, concerning a distinct group of people that were called out from both Jews and Gentiles, made one body whose home, whose allotment was among the celestials and not on earth. And I know many people don't like the idea of a secret rapture, but friends, it's biblical. Paul calls it a secret. And if it was the same thing as resurrection taught in the Old Testament, it couldn't have been a secret. And so we'll get more into that in our next series. But when people forsook Paul, this great truth of the Lord's return from heaven and of resurrection as the one great and blessed hope of the church, this was lost. People weren't looking for the Savior anymore. People were, fears replaced a great expectation and a joyous occasion. Fears came in the place of joy, and death and judgment took the place of those lost hopes. And I listen to Christians today so often, and it seems like I never hear them talk about resurrection. Friends, my hope is not to die and go to heaven, and it shouldn't be yours. Death is still an enemy, friends. I'm not looking for death. I am looking to meet my Lord. When this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, when this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death shall be swallowed up in victory. Friends, death will be swallowed up in victory when we see our Lord. And when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, he will come, snatch us away, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. That's when the dead in Christ shall rise, and those who are alive and remain shall be snatched away together. And it's interesting that word snatched away in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the same word used of a wolf snatching a sheep out of the flock. And our Lord Jesus is longing for that event. Friends, not only do we long for it, but our Savior even longs for it more. God himself and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, long for that day when the fruits of redemption will be accomplished. And we thank God for that. So people, when they forsook Paul, they forsook this great teaching of the Lord's promised return for us. Now, what was the third thing to go? Well, the next thing to go was the truth as to what God had made us to be in Christ. And justification by faith and by grace was lost. The way was now open for the full tide of error to come in. And it came in, friends, like a flood. Just read the church fathers. With all the corruption and superstition which ended in centuries, which have the significant description of the Dark Ages. Friends, you hear that? When people forsook Paul, number one, the great teaching of the body of Christ was lost and denominationalism took its place. Number two, the great teaching of the Lord's promised return from heaven and resurrection was lost. And what replaced it? Fears and preparation for death. And number three, the last thing to go was the teaching of justification by faith. By grace alone, that was lost, and that led to all the errors and superstitions of the Dark Ages. Now, there are many worldviews. I know I hear Christians talk about worldviews. What's your worldview? Well, let me just say this. If you think the era of Constantine was a good step, and that's your view, you stand opposed to those like me who think that things like Constantine were not a good thing in church history. And so that's the difference between a premillennialist and a postmillennialist. A premillennialist recognizes the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. A premillennialist recognizes that God has it in his plan that governments will always fail. And it's just part of God's purpose. Read the book of Daniel. No government will ever succeed on the face of the earth to bring in everlasting righteousness. And every era has ended in apostasy and departure from God. And that is true, friends. And not until the personal presence and return of the Lord Jesus Christ will the remedy begin to take place. And so that's an important distinction, friends. But justification by faith was lost. And friends, justification is by faith. God declares us righteous gratuitously. Gratuitously, friends. Gratis. There's nothing in you. Nothing in you whatsoever that can possibly make you right with God. It says in John 15:25, they hated Christ gratuitously. Same Greek word used in Romans 3 for us being justified gratuitously. There was nothing in the Lord Jesus. There was nothing in him that drew out the hatred of the Jews in his day. In other words, everything he did should have merited their love and affection. But it did just the opposite. He did nothing but good and labored among them, and they hated him for no reason, gratuitously. And you and I too, God justifies us gratuitously. There was nothing in us to merit God's favor. As a matter of fact, we did just the opposite to merit it. We sinned, we missed the mark, and we're wanting of the glory of God. And so that's an important thing. And people lost this teaching, and it was replaced with, baptismal regeneration. It was replaced with indulgences to the church. It was replaced with church membership and all kinds of other Baal worship that came into the world with the forsaking of Paul. And this goes back to Paul's own day, friends. Well, everyone is familiar with this term, the Dark Ages. But what were the Dark Ages and how did they come? They were not brought in suddenly by some untoward event. There must have been some cause, something that made them possible. The corruption is historical, friends. The Eastern churches today are in similar darkness, and so are the churches in America, where the Reformation has not removed it. And they're in the same darkness. And let me revise that statement. The Reformation was a good start, but it didn't go very far, because in America today and in many parts of the world where the Reformation took place, they've gone right back into darkness. What was the Reformation, friends? Now think about this. What was the Reformation? And wasn't it simply a recovery of biblical teaching, the biblical teaching of Paul? And the Reformation was at first, with Luther and them, is a faith that a man is justified by faith without works of law. And so that was the Reformation. Now, here's a remarkable fact, is that the recovery of those truths, those three things that we mentioned, number one, remember we said that when people forsook Paul, the teaching of the one body was lost, and then the teaching of the Lord's promised return was lost, and then justification by faith is lost. Well, since the Reformation, these truths have been restored in the opposite order in which they were lost. Justification by grace through faith was the first great truth recovered at the Reformation. Okay? This was the truth over which that great battle was fought and won, though the victory was far from complete. Friends, the Reformation, some people want to go back to the Reformation. They talk about Reformation principles. But friends, the Reformation was only one teeny step. And unfortunately, many friends are going back. They almost want to live in the colonial times as if that was the that was heaven. Well, it wasn't, friends. And but this, the Reformation was a one little battle. It was not until the 19th century had well begun that the Lord's return from heaven did. It wasn't until around then, the 19th century, that the Lord's return from heaven was becoming the hope and the blessed expectation of His church. And in more recent years, the subject has become more and more precious to increasing numbers. But this great and blessed hope is not really yet learned, because it ought to be the natural outcome of truth received and held, instead of being treated as an independent subject artificially produced. Now, what do I mean by that? In other words, the Lord's return from heaven is not just an academic thing. It should be a wonderful thing, a literal waiting for the Son from heaven. We'll continue more next time.